Hello, everyone, and welcome to English for You. My name is Joe.
And I'm Mike.
Today, once again, we're talking about the TV show The Last Alaskans.
Now, Alasticans.
The Last Alaskans.
That's a tough word to
it's
say
a, It's a tongue twister.
The Last Alaskans.
I wonder if they have trouble saying it there as well. Well, yesterday we met one of the Last Alaskans.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Haimo.
Hmm.
He's been living there for a long time, 40 years, in fact, so I guess he knows a thing or two about surviving in the wild in this massive area where there are very few people. Of course, to get his food, he has to go hunting, and he's looking for caribou, but he runs up against some bad luck.
Yes, that's absolutely right. It was really tough for him to find some of the caribou, and with winter coming, it was becoming a bit of a worry, because, of course, if he doesn't get the food in before the winter, well, once the snow arrives, he won't be able to hunt almost anything, maybe the odd bird or rabbit, but that can't keep you alive through a long Alaskan winter. So it's a tough place to live, isn't it?
That's right, and we're going to meet more of these tough people who choose to make their lives in a very isolated place. Let's go ahead and read through day two of The Last Alaskans.
Reading The Last Alaskans. Bob Hart is one of the few residents in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. On one episode of the show, he's fixing his cabin. That's because a grizzly bear broke into the place while he was away. The bear knocked down the door, smashed the windows, and ate 2 years' worth of dried food. Hart knows that the bear will try to come back too. This isn't the only pain that Hart has to go through living in the refuge. Not long ago, he had a family. However, his wife didn't want to continue living there. Hart chose to remain in the refuge, and his marriage ended because of it. Ray Lewis also lives in the refuge, and is about 579 kilometers from the nearest city. That's where he spends the summer, to keep the wolf from the door. Without the money he makes there, he couldn't afford to live in the refuge. For these last Alaskans, though, nothing could ever replace the freedom of life in the wild.
Today we meet Bob Hart. Bob Hart is one of the few residents of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. He's a resident. If you're a resident, it just means you're a person who lives in a certain place. You out there might be residents of Taipei, Taichung, Kaohsiung, Tainan. I'm a resident of Taipei.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Mike is as well.
I'm a resident of New Taipei City.
You're a resident of New Taipei City.
Yes, It's new and better.
It's new. It's new and improved.
New and improved. Diet Taipei City.
Well, Bob Hart, he's a resident and one of the few. One of the few means there are not many. As we learned yesterday, there's only 7 cabins there, remember?
That's right.
There are just very few people living in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And remember, refuge is a place that is protected by the government, meaning they limit the number of people that can live there, and they put a lot of rules on what you can and can't do there.
Exactly. It's a tough place to live, but people must really want to live there because of all the difficulty they have to go through to just make a normal life. Let's look at some of the interesting problems that you might have if you live out there. Of course, yesterday we learned that finding food is obviously a problem, but there are some other things. As it says on one episode of the show, Bob Hart, it says he's fixing his cabin. Why is he fixing his cabin? That's because a grizzly bear, yes, a grizzly bear broke into the place while he was away. This wasn't a bad guy breaking in to steal his TV or something. It was a very large man-eating grizzly bear that broke into his cabin while he was away. I guess he was off hunting or maybe visiting some people on holiday. Who knows? But while he was away, a bear broke into his cabin. A grizzly bear is, I think, pretty much the second biggest bear that there is.
Only polar bears are bigger.
Polar bears are bigger, and grizzly bears are not much smaller. They're very large. They're called grizzly bears because they have this sort of dirty gray-brown fur, and it sort of looks a little grizzly, like a man who hasn't shaved. But they're, 3 meters tall and 400 kilograms, and they can kill you by swatting you once with their giant hands, and then they'll eat you for lunch. So it broke into his cabin while he was away. Now, if you break into something, that means you have been locked out, maybe. Maybe you left your keys at home, and you have to break into your own house to get in, or, more frequently possibly, bad guys, thieves, will break into a store, a business, a home, while no one's there to try to steal things. But the idea is you're going to, you know, break a door, smash a window, something like that, to try to get into a place that you have been locked out of. And, of course, the bear did not have a key.
Let's find out how much damage this bear did. It says the bear knocked down the door.
Oh, so that's how he got in.
He just probably stood up and pressed on it. Remember, yeah. As Mike said, they can be up to around 400 kilograms. So
huge.
If they want that door gone, they don't have to do very much.
No.
The bear also smashed the window. Smashed means to break something into tiny little pieces. Again, the bear would only have to hit the window very lightly with its giant paws, and that window would be gone, too. And ate 2 years worth of dried food.
Oh, that hurts.
This is probably the thing that hurts the most.
Oh.
It's not hard to fix a door or to replace a window, but he had 2 years worth of dried food saved up. Food is very important up there, again, because you have to hunt it and find it yourself, and then you have to save it. Whatever you kill and preserve as food, you have to save it somewhere because you're going to need it when things get bad, when the food gets scarce or hard to find. 2 years worth means that's the amount of food that Bob Hart would have eaten over a 2 year period. So he had that all saved up for the next 2 years. He was good. He was okay. And then all of a sudden, he has nothing, thanks to this grizzly bear who was apparently very, very hungry. Now, Hart knows that the bear will try to come back, too. Yes,
sure.
That's what bears do. Once they know that a place is a good source of food, they will keep coming back again and again. I had some firsthand experience with this.
Really?
With a bear when I went on a camping trip when I was a kid. A bear broke into our truck and ate our food.
Okay.
Ate my cookies. I was mad.
Oh, no.
But we met the park ranger, the guy in charge of the park, and he said, well, yeah, the bear is going to come back. Because he knows where your truck is.
Right.
And he knows there should be food there.
If you walked into a 7-Eleven and they had no food, you'd think, I bought food here yesterday.
Yes.
What's going on?
So they come back, and the bear did come back.
Really?
He came back, and they had to trap him.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they had to put him somewhere else.
Oh, they move him
far
away.
They just move the bear. So,
yeah.
Yes, I can say firsthand that this does happen.
That would be the scarier thing. I mean, of course, how will I, you know, what food will Bob eat would be, of course, your first concern, but also the bear will come back, and that would be absolutely terrifying. It says, this isn't the only pain that Bob has to go through living in the refuge. So you think a bear breaking in and eating all your food and maybe coming back to eat you isn't bad? Well, there's actually other bad things that Bob is dealing with. If you're going through something, that means you're dealing with a difficult situation. Maybe it's something that's happening in your life. Maybe it won't even happen quickly and be over quickly. It could stretch over days, months, weeks, anything like that. You can go through an illness. You can go through trouble in your love life or trouble with your work or something like that. But it's talking about a difficult experience that you had to go through, you had to live through, you had to experience, and hopefully you came out at the end surviving and being stronger and being better. But when you're going through it, it's a kind of a difficult or bad time in your life. So tell us about some of the other things that Bob Hart has had to go through.
It says not long ago he had a family.
He had, past tense.
Did
they get eaten by a bear?
Well, it says, however, his wife didn't want to continue living there.
Okay.
So that's what happened. She didn't get eaten by a bear.
Well, that's good.
At least, I don't think so. It says she just didn't want to continue living there. As we said, it's very hard to live there. It's not an easy life.
Yeah.
She said, well, maybe I want to go live in a town or a city, someplace where grizzly bears don't break into your cabin.
That's true.
And eat 2 years of food at once.
Yes.
Hart chose to remain in the refuge, and his marriage ended because of it.
Oh, that's too bad.
So he wanted to stay there. That's what it means to remain somewhere. It means you stay where you are right now. If you're at home and you say, I want to stay at home, that means you are remaining at home. His marriage ended because of it. Marriage is when two people get married. They have a wedding ceremony, and you have a husband or a wife, or a husband and a husband, or a wife and a wife, because now we have same-sex marriage as well. But his marriage ended, so they got what we call a divorce. That's when the marriage is legally ended. So he wanted to stay or remain there. His wife wanted to go somewhere else, and they couldn't reach an agreement. They couldn't reach a compromise. So that was the end of Bob Hart's marriage.
That's sad, but obviously his life in the wildlife refuge is really important to him. And it is a difficult life. I can understand why his wife wouldn't want to live out there so far from almost anything. To give you an idea of how far it is, let's read the next sentence. It says, here's another guy, Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis also lives in the refuge and is about 579 kilometers from the nearest city. Now, that's about the distance from one end of Taiwan to the other, isn't it?
That's, just a little bit longer.
Imagine if you lived in Danshui, and to get to the nearest town, you had to drive all the way down to Kending or something
like
that.
That's a long way.
To find a supermarket, a bank, a post office, you know, basic things like that. We're not talking he's that distance from New York City. No, just from a small Alaskan city. A kilometer is a unit of distance. It's a unit of measurement that we use for distance, and it's 1,000 meters. So 579 kilometers is quite a far ways.
That's where he spends the summer to keep the wolf from the door. Okay, so he will live in the refuge during the winter, but in the summer, I guess he will go to the city because he has to make some money. Because we're talking about keeping the wolf from the door. This doesn't mean like a real wolf. This is a phrase we use to talk about debt or to talk about being able to pay your bills. If you can't keep the wolf from the door, it means you can't pay your bills or you can't pay your rent or you don't have enough money to live. Mm-hmm. So he has to go to the city, make enough money that he can live through the winter. And then when it starts snowing and starts getting cold, he can go back to the refuge, 579 kilometers away from the nearest city.
Gosh.
Keep the wolf from the door is our shortcut for you for today, so let's take a closer look at this phrase.
Shortcut for you.
Sir, please, can I have some money?
Be off, boy. Do I look like a rich man?
Well, with that gold watch, the nice clothes and expensive shoes.
Never mind all that. I tell you, I can barely keep the wolf from the door.
No wonder wolves want to eat you, you rich fat man.
How rude! To keep the wolf from the door means to only just have enough money to eat and live.
Is that so? Keep the wolf from the door means 勉强维持生计.
Exactly so. Now, run along.
Come on! Look at these clothes. I'm much poorer than you. I can't keep the wolf from my door. I can't even afford a door.
Oh, very well, very well. If it will keep the wolf from your door and stop you from bothering me, take this.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, and we're back. So yes, Ray Lewis has to live in the city for part of the year to make some money. As the article says next, without the money he makes there, he couldn't afford to live in the refuge. So that's quite interesting. You might think that living on the refuge is free, right? You just hunt all your food and drink water from a river and you don't have to pay for anything. But no, you have to be able to afford certain things. To afford something is to have enough money to pay for it, all right? If you're looking at a pair of shoes and they cost $10,000 and you only have $5,000 in the bank, you can't afford those shoes. Your money doesn't stretch that far. You don't have enough funds or enough money to pay the price for the thing that you're looking at. In the Alaskan wilderness, of course, they can hunt food, they can grow food, but there are certain things like salt, sugar, bullets for their gun, gas for their car. They can't make those, they can't trade for them with other people because there are no people around. So they have to make some money to pay for those things, and I guess, of course, everyone has to pay taxes.
That's right. So they have to pay for certain things. They can't live entirely without money.
No.
But for these last Alaskans, though, nothing could ever replace the freedom of life in the wild. To replace something means to put something in place of something else. If you have holes in your shoes, you might replace them with a new pair. And the big thing for them is freedom. If you have freedom, it means people can't control you. You can do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want to go. And that's what they can do up in the north because there's nobody around to tell them what to do. Of course, they're not living entirely lawless. They're not free of the government or the police or politicians or things like that. But compared to people in the city, I think they enjoy a lot more freedom to do what they want to do on a day-to-day basis. And that's why they choose to live way up in the north, in northeastern Alaska. That brings us to the end of the article today. But before we leave you, let's have our For You chat.
For You chat.
Over the past couple of days, we've been taking a look at some people who obviously prefer to live way up in the countryside. This is the extreme countryside
yes.
we're talking about. This isn't just going a few minutes outside of the city and you can drive back in a few minutes or half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
As we saw, one of them lives almost 600 kilometers away from the nearest city. So yes, this is the extreme countryside. Mike, I'm pretty sure I know what your answer is going to be already, but
really?
I'm going to ask anyway.
Yeah.
Do you prefer the city or the countryside and why?
I love the countryside if I'm driving through it on the way to a nice big city.
With the windows
it's
up.
It's very beautiful. Now, the windows can be down. I don't mind the smell of cow poop or things like that that you find in the countryside. But I like the convenience of the city. I like the things that we have in the city from, you know, movie, culture, concerts, no bears.
Bears is a big thing.
No bears is good. You know, it's just more convenient living in the city. But hey, you know, I like the countryside. I don't mind spending some time out there, but ultimately if I was looking for a place to make my home, the city for me has so much more to offer.
Yes, I think I like the idea of the countryside.
The idea is great.
I love the idea of
being paintings of the countryside.
Yes, I like to look at pictures of the countryside. I like the idea of being able to go out and live on my own in the countryside, but I think if I actually did it, I would go insane.
I'd order from McDonald's every
day. I would
day.
Be running for the nearest Pizza Hut before the week was out.
That's right.
So the countryside is beautiful. It's a nice place to visit for me, but like you, I like the city. You guys can talk about this amongst yourselves. We're out of time, so until next time for English for You, I'm Joe.
I'm Mike.
Goodbye.
The Last Alaskans. Bob Hart is one of the few residents in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. On one episode of the show, he's fixing his cabin. That's because a grizzly bear broke into the place while he was away. The bear knocked down the door, smashed the windows, and ate 2 years' worth of dried food. Hart knows that the bear will try to come back too. This isn't the only pain that Hart has to go through living in the refuge. Not long ago, he had a family. However, his wife didn't want to continue living there. Hart chose to remain in the refuge, and his marriage ended because of it. Ray Lewis also lives in the refuge and is about 579 kilometers from the nearest city. That's where he spends the summer to keep the wolf from the door. Without the money he makes there, he couldn't afford to live in the refuge. For these last Alaskans, though, nothing could ever replace the freedom of life in the wild.
Vocabulary review.
Remain. The king remained in his castle while the soldiers went out to fight. Marriage. Anna and Stephen have a normal marriage. They fight sometimes, but they solve their problems. Kilometer. Ray jogs a few times a week and usually runs a few kilometers before stopping. afford. The rich family can afford to go on nice trips abroad several times a year. Replace. I'm thinking about replacing my little scooter with a big motorcycle. Freedom. Alan wants to have more freedom, so he's moving into his own apartment.